Okay, we're going to continue over in Galatians and chapter 5. And we got down to the section that begins in verse 13. And I think we got pretty much through 13 last time. Paul's been warning against false teachers. He's been warning about turning to the works of the law or rites or rituals to attain salvation. But Paul's concerned as well as he advances the truth of the liberty that we have in Christ, of the freedom that we have in Christ, that we've been made free men in Christ, that some may misuse that liberty or misunderstand that liberty, and instead of liberty, exercise license and licentiousness. And beginning in verse 13 through the end of the chapter, Paul deals with these issues, and he deals first with the matter of licentiousness and the fruits of licentiousness, and then later on, the true fruits of the Spirit. And as we began looking in verse 13, last week, Paul set forth verse 13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Folks, it does matter how we live. We're not saved by good works, but Paul tells us we're saved unto good works. And if we don't see the fulfillment of that purpose in ourselves, we have reason to wonder and to question and to doubt. Unfortunately, most folks that have the absence of that don't, particularly in this day and age. I got saved. I made a decision. I walked an aisle. And it don't matter how I live. Yes, it does. And that's the evidence of the true child of God. And this is a day and age that folks think they can live just like the world, and they're happy to live just like the world, and yet claim to be a child of God. Paul says, don't use your liberty as an occasion for the flesh. And he says, but by love, serve one another. We're to serve one another. God receives glory in that. There's a reason, several reasons for living right. Paul emphasizes one here, but the first reason for living right and doing right is the glory of God. And the second is our own spiritual standing and walk with the Lord. And the third is for the sake of the brethren. By love, serving one another. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John 3, verse 16, "Hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid down his life for us." And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. "But whoso hath this world's goods, and sees his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." True love is manifested in deed and in speaking the truth, not, warm fuzzies. It's by doing something. It's by speaking the truth. And then he said in verse 19, the Apostle John, "And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." And so we're to encourage one another, and we're to sustain one another in being faithful and in maintaining a faithful walk. And so Paul continues with this idea, and eventually he's going to get into some real specifics. But he continues with this idea in verse 14. He says, "For all the love is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." All the law is fulfilled in one word. That word fulfilled means to bring something to completion. It means to bring something to perfection in the sense, again, of being completed or being whole. It means something that's accomplished its purpose. So the purpose of the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The Lord, during his earthly ministry, spoke of these things in Matthew 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And when the apostle here speaks of the matter of having love towards our neighbor as ourselves, he is showing he's in that, even as the Lord spoke in Matthew 22, that love of neighbor is predicated upon the love of God. The Lord said you have to love God first before you can properly love your neighbor. And that goes with everything. As a man, we have to love God first before we can properly love our wives. Wives, husbands, and parents, children. And so, love of neighbor is predicated upon the love of God. The true love of neighbor necessitates and includes the love of God. And so when Paul says here, you need to love your neighbor as yourself, he's not discounting the love of God. But he's showing how that's included and predicated upon that. James, pastor at the church at Jerusalem, half-brother of the Lord, James says in James 2 and verse 8, and if ye fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. James calls that the royal love, or the royal law, that we should have love towards one another. Even in this, Paul says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Loving the neighbor as ourself is something that's throughout the scriptures. It's not something that in and of itself is new in the New Testament. We see in the Old Testament, in the book of Leviticus, in chapter 19 and verse 18, thou shalt not avenge, nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, for thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And again, we see how those two concepts are joined together, and the one's predicated upon the other, the love of God and the love of our neighbor. He says, you're to love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Here's the truth. If we have genuine and true love towards our neighbor, particularly the brethren, Paul's speaking here in the church context primarily, true love of the neighbor covers virtually everything else. Now, Paul's going to get into details. Because of our fallen nature, we sometimes need those to be pointed out to us. But the fact is, if we truly love somebody, if we truly love our neighbor, all these other things will flow from it. All these other things will be incorporated in it. Here's what Paul says in Romans 13. He says, owe no man anything but to love one another. He that loveth another hath, and here we see that word again, fulfilled the law. He's completed it. He's filled it up. He's brought it to its conclusion. he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And then Paul continues on in verse 9 to show that loving another includes all these other things. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. If you love your neighbor aright, you won't commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Now, we can see some of these things that come from the commandments, and they are the commandments of God, the moral law of God. But in that process of exhibiting true love, those things come naturally, as it were. They come as a byproduct of that. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. Scriptures teach about private property. You know, it's impossible to steal if there's not private property. And all these socialists, they want to steal all your private property first. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. See, all these things are incorporated in love. If we properly love, if we love another, we fulfilled the law. We filled it up. We brought it to its completion. These other things will not even be under consideration. Thou shalt not covet. And then, should there be anything else? Paul says at the end there of verse 9, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. See, all those commandments are incorporated in that. If we properly exercise that, those things will come by way of course. It's just like, again, it's natural for parents to love a child. And there doesn't have to be a law saying you have to feed your children. If you love them, you're going to feed them. You don't do it because the law says do it. You do it because you love them. And all these other things that Paul mentions here, if there's true love, these things won't be present. True love of a neighbor precludes all manner of sin against him. Paul says, if there be any other commandment. And so when love is fulfilled, is filled up, is completed, is brought to its conclusion, is accomplished what God intends to be accomplished in love. He speaks to the saints there in Galatia because they have all these factions and they're following this group or that group. Verse 15, he says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye not be consumed one of another. See, that's not love. That's not manifesting those things. That's not bringing these things to their fulfillment. He says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. You see, to bite and devour one another, that's unseemly behavior. It's unnatural behavior within the Lord's church. And it's it doesn't mean we shouldn't expose things that are sinful. In fact, that's the manifestation of true love, or things that are false. But we're not to bite and devour one another, and the petty issues and the things that are of no consequence. Sheep, we're the Lord's sheep. You know, he's our shepherd. I often refer to the Lord's church here as the Lord's little flock and archer, because he spoke to his disciples and he said, little flock. And we're the Lord's little flock and archer. Folks, sheep don't prey on one another. Sheep don't trouble one another. You know, they don't attack one another. And neither should the children of God. unlike the common situation that's always been present, when grievous wolves enter in. The apostle Paul's talking to the pastors of the various churches, the churches primarily in Ephesus, and in Acts 20, verse 28. He says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers or elders or bishops, to feed or to pastor the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. We sang about that this morning. Sister Parrish had written. Now the Lord has a special relationship to his church, closer and more intimate than he has with the rest of the family of God. And just as we weren't chosen, we didn't choose ourselves to salvation, we didn't choose ourselves to be involved in the bride. The Lord knows his bride. The Lord knows his people. He will bring them together, and they have a special relationship. All the family will be at the wedding, but they won't all be the bride. And Paul speaks to the pastors, and he says, take heed to yourselves and to the flock over which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The Lord died not only for his individual elect, but he died for his church. Now, I'm not talking about some universal, invisible hodgepodge. Paul is speaking to men here. Look at this. Now, you need to think this through. People got so brainwashed. Paul is speaking to individual men here. He's speaking to men who are pastors of his churches. He says, the Lord hath made you overseers. You're to feed the church of God. They can't feed a universal, invisible church. But that's the same church that he purchased with his own blood. Then Paul says, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Brethren, grievous wolves will come in and not spare the flock of God. These false teachers. These persecutors, these pagans. The sort of things we see going about in the world today. And Paul warns about that. But you see, that's to be expected. What's really not to be expected is when the sheep bite and devour one another. When they attack one another. When they feed upon one another. And yet, in these days in which we live, you know, these unnatural attacks, like Paul sees here in Galatia, that come from within the fold, or at least nominally within the fold, are to be expected. Even those things which aren't truly fulfilling the law. In Acts 20, Paul continues on. In verse 30, after he's spoken of these grievous wolves that'll come in from outside, he says, also of your own selves shall men arise. You know, nominally within the Lord's true churches, nominally within the true flock, we can't look at people's hearts. But men will arise, not only these grievous wolves, which are hopefully more recognizable, but he says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw disciples after them. You know, folks that want to make disciples to themselves, that want to gather a following to themselves, that want to put notches in their belts. Now, Paul, some places, tells folks to follow him as he follows the Lord, but, you know, I'm not out there trying to gather a bunch of disciples. Not to me. I don't want folks to follow me. I want them to follow the Lord. It would be troubling to think that someone was following me. But I hope to walk aright and that I can say, folks, you know, as I follow the Lord, follow me. And that's what Paul says. He says, as your own self shall men arise, speaking perverse, twisted things. That's what that word literally speaks of. They twist and they wrest the scriptures. And they say, well, you know, like the serpent in the garden. Yea, hath God said? You know, is that really what that scripture means? You know, maybe we need to adjust it a little bit. Maybe we need to reinterpret it. Maybe we need to retranslate it. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears. Paul was concerned for the saints. And he was concerned for the truth. And he would speak out. He says, sheep ought not attack one another. But Paul wasn't reluctant to say, look, folks are going to rise up from amongst your own selves. They're speaking perverse and twisted things. That's love, to speak the truth. So he says, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. It's possible to destroy one another through lack of love. We need to strive to walk and to live and to maintain in love with the brethren. And again, it's not some squishy, touchy-feely thing. You look at the way Paul manifests it in his own life. He speaks the truth. He speaks the hard truth. In Ephesians, Paul writes to the saints there in Ephesians 4 and verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Put those things away. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We ought to love the brethren. We ought to be tender-hearted. And again, how can we keep on maintaining and carrying grudges when we think about what the Lord did for us? Mm-hmm. Now, I've shared with Diane, my memory's not good enough. I have a hard time carrying a grudge, you know. I even forget the bad stuff people did, you know. And maybe that's a good thing. Given the rest of my nature, I'm sure it's a good thing. It'd be really bad if I bore those things forever. And I'm not applauding myself, you know. I'm just saying. Paul says, "Forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." Brother, it's important that we're a flock. We're His sheep. We're His little fold. And we ought to behave like it. Not devour one another. And not devour one another by false doctrines and teachings either. That's what Paul's dealing with. Now I'll close with one more from James. And chapter 3 and verse 14. And we already looked a little bit at James before. James 3 and verse 14. James says, but if you have bitter envyings and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envyings and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Envy and strife, that's self-promotion, pride. That's where those things come from. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. Now, Paul's going to speak about some specific fruits as we get into the remainder of this chapter. And he speaks first of all of the fruits of the flesh. Then he's going to speak of the fruits of the spirit. These are the things that manifest what's inside. You know, a tree is manifested by the fruit that it brings forth. Sometimes you can't hardly tell, you know, what a tree is. Sometimes citrus trees and I don't know, all these graftings. But when the fruit comes, then you know. And for the envy and strife, says James, this wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits. Full of good fruits. I hope the Lord just keeps working on me about that. Lord knows I've needed a lot of work over the years on some of those things. And I think I've seen a little bit of advance, maybe not a whole lot. The Lord knows that. Peaceful, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. That's a pretty tall order, and you can't do it. But the Spirit of God within you can work on those things, and Paul's going to talk about that as we continue on there. And then James concludes in verse 18, passage we're looking at anyway, verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. You know, it ought not be within the Lord's church. We're going to be in a continual battle and a turmoil with the world. But there ought not be a continual battle and turmoil within the Lord's church. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. And then Paul's going to get to the heart of the matter. You know, how do we overcome these things? This nastiness within, this wretched man that I am that Paul speaks of. In verse 16, Paul says this. We'll begin looking at this one next week, Lord willing. He says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. And we'll talk a little bit about what that means. And again, it's the work of God. It's the work of the Spirit. We can't save ourselves. We can't cleanse ourselves. We can't make ourselves worth anything. But he can bring forth good works from those that are his. Okay, we'll take hymnals and we'll turn to page number 25 and we'll stand and sing this closing hymn number 25, I Will Not Forget Thee.
I will not forget thee. Nothing can molest or turn my soul away. Even though the night be dark within the valley, just beyond his dying, one eternal day. I will not forget thee. Onward will I go with songs of joy and love. Though earth despise me, though my friends forsake me, I shall be remembered in my home above. All my sorrows past, how sweet to hear the blessed proclamation, enter faithful servant, welcome home at last. I will not forget thee, O thee, in my hands I'll hold thee, in my arms I'll fold thee. I am my Redeemer, I will care for thee.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your provisions for this, your church, for the opportunity to gather together, to sit under the hearing of your word. We thank you, Lord, for the preservation of your word. Lord, for the men you inspired to set forth those things that were already settled in heaven. Father, I pray that you help us to understand what true love of the brethren is. No, Lord, we can only do that if we first truly love you, and to know as well, Lord, if we truly love you, we will love the brethren. For by your grace, may those things be fulfilled in us, and they be accomplished, brought to their conclusion. For we live in troubled times. It appears the time is short, and indeed, regardless of who we are, how old we are, the time is short. Lord, may we be faithful servants. Lord, I pray for each one that's here, and I thank you for each one. Pray, Lord, thank you for those that listen in as we broadcast or later on during the week. You might just bless each one. Father, we pray for those that need healing and those that need comfort. Father, we thank you that you are a sovereign God. And we know we can rest in your sovereign will, and that you're going to work your perfect will for your own glory and for the benefit of your people. Thank you, Lord, for that everlasting covenant between the persons of the Godhead. Thank you, Lord, for what was accomplished on our behalf that we could not accomplish. We were not a party to. Thank you, Lord, for our Savior, Thank you for his all-sufficient and completed atoning death. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.
Amen.